I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later, we look ahead to the Gesher Music Festival of Emerging Artists with a preview from Sarah Sitzer and Kathleen Sitzer. We'll also talk to jazz pianist Peter Martin about his opening performance and the importance of promoting the careers of young professionals. And in our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we're going to meet two members of the Missouri Shark Fishermen's Club and learn about that group's involvement in St. Louis's competitive barbecue season, which is now underway. Well, when we think of the American Civil Rights Movement, several names come to mind, most prominently Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Most likely, though, you've never heard of Bayard Rustin, but he was there 50 years ago, shoulder to shoulder with Dr. King. And on Monday, an event at the Missouri History Museum will feature a screening of a documentary film, Brother Outsider, and a short theater piece about the life of Bayard Rustin. Joan Lipkin, artistic director of that uppity theater company, commissioned the theater piece, Out from the Shadows. Fannie Bell Lebby directs. Alex Dietrich is the Assistant Director of Community Education and Events at the Missouri History Museum, and we welcome them all to Cityscape. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
For those of us old enough in 1963 to be aware of the March on Washington, and even if you weren't, from the newsreels alone that everybody's seen, we're so familiar with the images of the thousands on the Mall in Washington, Dr. Mm-hmm. King addressing them from the Lincoln Memorial, the iconic I Have a Dream speech. So, Joan Lipkin, during all of that, where was Bayard Rustin on the 28th of August, 1963, both physically and in the overall scheme of things?
Oh, what a great question, Steve. He was there. He was at the center of the action because, in fact, he was the architect of the March on Washington. He was, in a sense, the original community organizer. And what is so amazing is that it was the largest peaceful demonstration that the nation had ever seen in its capital. Over 200,000 people. It was racially mixed. And there was not a single moment of violence. And because he managed it so beautifully, it set the stage for Dr. King's iconic I Have a Dream speech. The other thing that's interesting that we need to think back is this is before cell phones, right? This is before computers. This man had 3x5 cards and an amazing Filofax in his head.
And nobody Twittered about it.
Right. No.
Fannie Bell Lebby, there's a reason that Bayard Rustin's name is not on the tip of our tongues. There's a reason.
Right. Mainly because during the time that he was doing civil rights, practicing civil rights, he was living as an openly gay man. And at during the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, I mean, that was really a no-no. You could not do that.
Wait, in the 60s and the 70s.
And the 60s and the 70s, right.
And right. The 80s, and for some people,
right.
The 90s.
And some parts in 2013, too, which
right.
Is still a shame. But he considered himself a human rights activist, not just a civil rights activist. At the time when he started his activism, the most paramount issue then was about black rights. So that's what he fought. But later on, near the end of his life, he came out and started speaking up about gay rights, too.
And Alex Dietrich, you're here representing the Missouri History Museum. Why is this of interest to you? I guess it's obvious.
Well, first of all, thank you for discussing such an important topic on your show today. The Missouri History Museum has been committed to addressing community concerns for some time now. And this year is focused on avenues of activism and really identifying the ways that individual citizens can make an impact on their community. And to much personal sacrifice, Bayard Rustin was that person mm-hmm. and is a great role model.
And what an interesting person. He was more than an activist. He was a singer.
Yes, he was.
Are we going to get to hear some of his music?
Why don't we do that right away? Would you set that up?
Well, the thing about him is this is the original Renaissance man. It's incredible. He sang on Broadway. He sang with Paul Robeson. He mm-hmm. sang with Josh White. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll hear. He has an absolutely beautiful voice.
So would he sing at rallies and things, civil rights rallies?
He would sing at rallies when he was a teenager and he was playing on the football field. He was quite the athlete. If he would knock somebody down, he would sing to them and give them a hand up.
This first piece is Scandalize My Name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you say something about that?
What I can say is that a lot of the music that he did, some of which he wrote, some of which was gospel that other people wrote, really spoke to the issues of the time. This song in particular speaks to me because his name was scandalized. It was scandalized by Strom Thurmond. It was scandalized by the media and sometimes even by his colleagues. So it has a real poignancy when we listen to it.
I met my brother the other day and I gave him my right hand. Soon as ever my back was turned, he scandalized my name. Do you call that a brother? No, no. Do you call that a brother? No, no. Do you call that a brother? No, no. He scandalized my name.
And that's the voice of Bayard Rustin, a documentary about his life and a theater piece will be taking place at the Missouri History Museum on Monday, 50 years after the March on Washington. We're talking with Alex Dietrich from the History Museum, Fanny Bell Lebby, who is directing the theater piece, and Joan Lipkin, who commissioned the theater piece. And how did this all come on your radar? Joan, for most of us, I'd never heard personally, ever heard of Bayard Rustin until this week. I can't be the only one. How did it happen for you?
Well, you know, I've long been interested in the civil rights movement. I feel that it is all of our history. And when people say to me, why are you so interested? My question is always, why are you not? Because this is our legacy. These are the issues that we as a society must work through together. And so I've done a lot of reading, and I came upon his name, and I thought, this is really interesting. This is a man who was part of the Fellowship of Reconciliation bus rides to test the interstate busing laws against black African Americans riding on the buses almost 10 years before Rosa Parks sat down. So I say, why? Why do we not know about him? Why do we know about Dr. King and Rosa Parks and Malcolm X, but we don't know so much, for example, about A. Philip Randolph? You know, Fanny and I were talking about that, or about Bayard. And so I began to do some excavation. And there are some wonderful books. There's a great historian, John D'Amelio, who has a book out about him. There is a collection of letters by Michael Long. But there's a group of us, a sort of loose coalition, that's led by his partner, who is still alive, Walter Nagel, who are trying to forward the legacy of this man, who I believe is really one of the great activists of the past century.
Well, you say he was open. Fanny, I think you brought that up, that he was an openly gay at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize there sort of was such a thing.
Yeah,
then.
Well, he never hid it. He had a partner, and he never hid the fact that he was gay. And although that should not have interfered with his activism, it did, because he was discriminated against by black folks because of the homosexuality issue, and then he was discriminated against by white people because he was black, a black man, and gay. So,
I mean, was that printed in the media at the time, his sexuality? That wouldn't even have been printed then.
No, it was. Because he was brought up on a morals charge.
Morals charge, right.
He was brought up, he was arrested in Pasadena.
Right.
And he also had problems when, he actually was a conscientious objector. He was a Quaker.
Right.
And he did not want to participate in World War II, so he went to jail for 26 months. Actually, this man was jailed over 20 times and beaten repeatedly. It's really quite extraordinary.
Do we know how he was received by the people in the civil rights movement as far as his private life? Did Dr. King know? Was this a thing any of them went on the record about?
I don't know that they went on the record about, but there was a threat by Thurman and some of the other people in Congress against Martin Luther King.
Adam Clayton Powell.
And Adam Clayton Powell, right.
Yeah.
And they threatened to expose the fact that Bayard was gay and that maybe he and Martin Luther King had some type of affair. So because of that, they fired him. He was fired.
Wow.
From
I had a delayed reaction there. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it all happened. He was fired. And when they, you know, he came back on as a strategist and organizer for the March on Washington, he was relegated to the background.
Well, Bayard Rustin passed away, I think it was 1987. Someone told me ahead of time. But his partner, whose name you've mentioned, Walter Nagel, is going to be here.
He will.
On Monday.
He will.
And he was a consultant for the documentary. What do we know about the documentary?
It's fantastic.
It is.
It's by Bennett Singer and Nancy Cates. It has received many, many awards. It was at Sundance. And Walter has been going around the country, also sometimes with Bennett Singer, talking about it. It's a beautiful documentary. It's an important avenue into this history. And it's also kind of a love story, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
And it was also shown on PBS, too. A couple of months ago.
Recently, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So is the reason we're bringing this here, Alex, to St. Louis, that we're doing this at this time, is it because of the anniversary of the March on Washington? Is
it
that is. Date important?
It is. And this is a particularly important month for many reasons, June being a month that we can acknowledge the GLBT community and celebrate that contribution.
Gay Pride Month, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And with Walter, we have a particularly unique opportunity to have a glimpse into Bayard's private life.
Has anyone met him or talked to him?
Spoke with him, yes.
No, I actually I actually know him pretty well. I've you know, gotten to know him pretty well over the past few years. Been at conferences with him and had dinner, and he's a lovely man. He is 40 years younger than Bayard.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so Bayard was very busy working, and I think maybe when he was 65 and he met Walter, he had a different kind of space in his life for an emotional, you know, for a domestic life. And they had a very lovely life together, also doing all sorts of international human rights.
That's interesting with that kind of age difference. I'm wondering what Walter's take was on the civil rights movement and all that, because he wasn't there then.
He respected the contribution of Bayard, and he spoke highly of the work that he did. But in terms of being a firsthand witness, he recounts days upon days where people would show up at their door, knocking on the door, asking for Bayard's consultation, his support, his advice about how to move different movements forward.
Well, after Bayard went through this with Dr. King, and after he was fired, and all this happened to him publicly, did he disappear? Did he keep on working behind the scenes? What happened?
Well, see, this is the amazing thing about him, and this, I feel, is really the great lesson of Bayard Rustin, is to understand that even if you may have disagreements with people on an individual basis, if you have, so to speak, your eye on the prize,
right.
If you're really thinking about a movement and about social justice, then you're able to put your own ego aside and say what is needed for the greater good of the people. He had a complicated relationship with Dr. King, but when Dr. King needed him to organize the March on Washington, he was there. So he came in and out of the picture, in and out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear more from Bayard Rustin. He, as you pointed out, he's a singer. This is Sit Down, Sit Down.
Mm-hmm. Now won't you sit down, I can't sit down. Sit down, sit down, I can't sit down. Now won't you sit down, I can't sit down. Just got to heaven, wanna move around. Sit down, I can't sit down. Sit down, I can't sit down. Now won't you sit down, I can't sit down. Just got to heaven, wanna move around. Who's that yonder dressed in white?
A documentary about the life of Bayard Rustin and a short film, or a short theater piece, will happen Monday at the Missouri History Museum. We're talking with Alex Dietrich, Fanny Bell Lebby, and Joan Lipkin. Well, Joan, let's talk about your play. You commissioned a play. So what is the group doing it?
All right, so this is interesting, and I'm really excited in particular about this event, because to me it represents a kind of model of partnership, right? It's like we have a small nonprofit theater company that's interested in social justice issues. We've got this wonderful cultural institution, the Missouri History Museum. We have wonderful actors and directors like Fanny Lebby. And so when I was talking to a friend, Mark Albrecht, he told me that there was a new company called Call to Conscience. And I said, you know, we're talking with the History Museum about doing a program about Bayard Rustin. Walter's going to come in. I'm going to have a public conversation with Walter. But I think that we're missing the performative act, you know, aspect. I would love to see us do something live. And would you talk to the folks in this new company? And so he did, and I'm going to ask Fanny if she'll elaborate.
Well, Mark talked to us. Linda Smith is the founder of the group Call to Conscience, and I'm the co-founder slash artistic director. But anyway, Mark talked to us, and we called Joan, and we got together with Joan, and we kind of strategized, and we came up with this piece called Out from the Shadows, which speaks to Rustin's activism and his being relegated to the background. The show gives a glimpse of his life as a human rights activist and a major organizer of the March on Washington, and it stars Mark Albrecht, Peggy Calvin, Jerome Davis, Dennis Lebby, and those are some of the best actors in St. Louis. And we have it's a mixture of dialogue, some of his words, and things that was written about him, and it's put together using music as a transition.
Joan, I know there's a point you want to make about the timing of all this, this being Gay Pride Month. Also, some interesting news about the Exodus organization in the news within the last 24 hours.
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting that we look at the tremendous contributions of Bayard Rustin, but also the pain mm-hmm. of being dismissed by some of his colleagues and peers, being imprisoned, being publicly humiliated for his sexual orientation, which is his right. And now we look at an organization like Exodus International, which has decided, after 37 years of wrongfully trying to do sexual orientation reparative therapy, that maybe, you know, they ought to do the right thing and suspend operation. And the irony of these two mm-hmm. things butting up against each other to me is very interesting.
Let's hear a final piece from Bayard Rustin.
Over me, and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. No more.
And the Missouri History Museum presents Brother Outsider, The Life of Bayard Rustin. That's a documentary. And the theater piece, Out from the Shadows, also a Q&A will be involved in this. It's all Monday at the Missouri History Museum. There's going to be a reception at 6 p.m. Monday, the screening at 7 p.m., and the Q&A, I guess, Joan, after, with Walter Nagel, who's Mr. Rustin's companion for a number of years. If you'd like more information, go to STL Public Radio. To the Cityscape page, we'll have a link to the Missouri History Museum's website. Any final words, Alex Dietrich?
Yes, do know that Monday's program is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Rarely do we have the opportunity to interact with someone who has lived that experience, been so close to Bayard Rustin. So make sure that you are able to attend. And also do know that this is a continuing commitment. So look for programs beyond Monday. Check the calendar and do visit mohistory.org for others in the Avenues of Activism series.
Fanny Bell Levy.
Yes. The thing that I want people to get from the event is I want them to get fired up about the actions and the issues that Rustin believed in and was so passionate about, so that they will become motivated to get involved in some type of social action. I think once you view the documentary and listen to the discussion and see the little vignette that we present, you'll see that some of the same issues that he was talking about then are some of the same issues that we are facing in 2013.
And Joan Lipkin, just in a second, where would we be, where would the civil rights movement be without Bayard Rustin?
I can't even imagine. But I also want to say that he was a model for what it means to be not just an African-American citizen and an LGBT citizen, but also a global citizen. He worked on behalf of Soviet Jewry, refugees in Thailand and Cambodia, nuclear disarmament. The man understood what it meant to pay his rent on the planet.
And it's all Monday at the Missouri History Museum. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Our pleasure.
Coming up next on Cityscape, the Gesher Music Festival, and later on Soundbite's Competitive Barbecue. This is St. Louis Public Radio.